Before we begin, I want to ask you to follow me in an exercise. I'm going to tell you, it may not be easy. I've been struggling with it for a week now, and I still haven't quite found the answer. But here it goes. Try to go back in your memory and remember the first time you expressed gratitude to someone, anyone. And it may not have been profound, just a time when you felt gratitude and expressed it. Now, if you haven't gotten the earliest, maybe you at least have one significant time in your thought. Now, how about the flip side? Can you recall the first time someone expressed gratitude to you for something you did or said or simply were? Now, hopefully this won't be as difficult, but for some, it even might prove more challenging. Now, keep those instances in mind as I read today's lesson from the Gospel of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And then, as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. So Jesus does something good. That's not surprising. Jesus is always healing people in the Gospels. But it usually is one person who is healed. And it usually is a life-changing event for that one person. And sometimes they actually go out of their way to come back and express their thanks to Jesus. Let's talk about this disease of leprosy first. Leprosy is a horrible disease. It was scary for the people in Jesus' time. It was still scary in the Middle Ages. And I hear from some accounts that it is still a horrible disease found in many parts of the world. Now, I do not want to get too graphic, but leprosy does cause the body parts to decay and fall off while the person is still alive. People's fear is just as much about the fact that it could happen to them as how bad the disease was for the people who were afflicted. And so these 10 lepers were outcasts. What I mean is that according to Jewish law, they were not allowed in cities and towns. They were not allowed to have any contact with their families. And they certainly weren't allowed in any worship facilities. They were not allowed in society, period. They had to live in their own isolated, horrid communities, and they were not welcomed to any of the comforts that most people have come to expect in this life. Now, this outcast status did not change as our times changed. Recently, we were touring an old medieval cathedral in Ireland, and the guide pointed up to a window way up in the wall. And she said, "That is the leper's window." She explained that the window is situated in such a way that the lepers could sit behind the window and see the actions of the priest at the altar, but the good people in the congregation didn't have to see them. And I'm told that lepers still live in isolated colonies where the disease is still found in India and other countries around the world. So this group of 10 lepers wished to see Jesus, but they keep their distance. Jesus, they call, have mercy on us. Now, were they asking for healing, or were they simply asking for alms? Were they asking for him to end their suffering, their isolation, their otherness? Jesus' response was to send them to the priest. Now, that seems like a strange response. Imagine if you went to the doctor this week for a cold and he says, oh, just go see Pastor Jim. But in Jesus' time, it was the priest that could certify the person as healed from leprosy. Only the priest had the right to certify the person as clean and allow them back into the community and back into the worship space. But then the miracle happened, and they realized they were healed. And then the second miracle happened, and one of them came back to thank Jesus for healing. Gratitude, plain and simple. We are told that this one was a Samaritan. Now, you may remember from past stories and teachings that Samaritans were not well liked by the Jews. They were considered outcasts of their own. This status was based on their heritage and their religious beliefs. Does that sound familiar? We have been casting out people for where they come from and what they believe since the beginning. So this one was doubly an outcast. Even among the lepers, he was an outcast. The other lepers most likely didn't want to associate with him. But he is the one that finds it important to come back into Jesus' presence and thank him. Jesus wonders aloud where the others were, but he gives this man one final blessing. He says, go, your faith has made you well. You aren't just healed, you aren't just acceptable, you are well, you are whole. You are holy. Now, this makes me want to go back to the earlier questions. Gratitude, saying thank you. It's not just politeness. It creates a connection. It completes a connection. When we go out of our way to thank someone, whether it is a small thing or a big thing, we complete a connection with that person. Now, I'm sure we were all taught the magic words when we were young, please and thank you. And many of us send thank you cards to friends who have invited us to dinner. We thank the doctor when he gives us good news. We thank the preachers when they deliver good sermons. And all these are important, don't get me wrong. But what about the little things? Do we go out of our way to complete the connection and thank the people who are just doing their job? Is our thanks the fact that we are contributing to their paycheck through our grocery bills or our taxes or the fees we pay? There are two groups of people that I go out of my way to thank: TSA agents at the airport and ferry workers who are making sure we get on board safely. Now, the TSA agents have a range of responses from just doing my job to sure. But occasionally, one of them will look me in the eye and say, thank you for saying that. A complete connection is made. They truly do have a thankless job, and I contribute to their frustration many times. But hopefully, my going out of my way helps just a little. And the ferry workers, there's one young man who is always seems happy and joyful as he's flagging us onto the ferry and always takes a chance to wave back at me when I wave my thank you at him. I also want to remember not to forget those that are closest to ourselves. Our family members also deserve our gratitude. So many times we forget to thank those that are most important to us. Our parents, our children, and our spouses are sometimes the ones we miss in giving our thanks. Please don't forget them. Don't forget those that we love the most, because they also get missed the most often when we show our gratitude. When we complete a connection with our gratitude, we create a little healing and wellness in our world. Please never underestimate how important a thank you is. Even if you don't think they deserve it because they're just doing their job, it is still a connection, a completeness. We heard an interview by Henry Winkler not too long ago. You may remember him as being the Fonz on Happy Days, or you may know him from HBO's recent work, Barry. But Henry Winkler said there are two words he has lived by his entire life: gratitude and tenacity. He says tenacity has gotten him to where he wanted to be, and gratitude has helped to keep him being angry along the way. Good words to live by. Our gratitude can help us to have a deeper and more meaningful and happier connection with a person. It is true that you may not feel up to thanking the police officer who just gave you a ticket, or a mom who chides you for being too loud, or a boss who says you could do better. But if we can be thankful, the connection is deeper and more whole and more holy, and we can have less anger about the situation. And the reality is that when we separate ourselves from the situation, we realize that we were speeding, or we were loud, or we were not living up to our potential in our job. The thank you can be a bridge between us and the other people. By the way, that's what's happening in the first reading from Jeremiah. The Jewish people have been taken into exile in Babylon. Now, the way they saw it, this was punishment for their sins. And yet, God's message for them is to continue living and giving thanks for their lives, for their fortunes, and even for their captors. God says to plant a garden, which means you're going to be here for a while, and yet to give thanks even for the captors who are around you. God says, I have not abandoned you, and you should not abandon me. And let's expand this. What about God? God certainly does not need our thanks. Jesus did not call out and curse those 9 lepers that didn't return. If you don't notice a beautiful sunset and give thanks for the beauty, God doesn't cease giving them to you. But when we do notice the sunset, or the eagle flying across our path, or the mountain that suddenly appears, or the small kindness that someone shows us, it is called awareness. It is a God moment. And that is when we give thanks for the beauty around us. I'm going to say that when we thank each other, it is also a God moment. It is an awareness of the relationship we have with each other and how that relationship reflects the relationship of the spirituality we all live in. One of my favorite mystics is Meister Eckhart. He is a 13th century theologian, and he has one of my all-time favorite quotes about gratitude. He said, "If the only prayer you ever said was thank you, that would be enough. If the only prayer you ever said was thank you, that would be enough." Gratitude so connects us to God and to each other that to do it, to thank each other, is to bring divine harmony into this world. Imagine if we were truly grateful in our lives, what our world would look like. So let's go back to the original question again. Do you remember the first time you showed gratitude and the time that someone thanked you? Do you remember the most recent time that you showed some gratitude? So guess what your assignment is this week? I want you to go out of your way this week and express some gratitude. Maybe it's to the clerk at Payless when you go there after church, or to the waitress at China City when you go there later today. Or maybe you sit down and you write a note to a friend who's been with you through thick and thin, and you simply want to say thank you for being there. And I want you to practice this gratitude each day this week. Say thank you. And don't worry, if you miss a day and you're laying down and you realize you've forgotten to thank someone that day, just thank God for the day that you've lived and for the bed that you're in. And sometime this week, please make sure that that gratitude gets focused on one of your family members. And just simply say thank you for being in my life. But there's a flip side to this assignment as well. I want you to notice when someone thanks you too. Because the connection is not complete unless we notice that connection and we return that thanks. So pay attention when someone expresses gratitude. And don't respond with, "Por nada, it is nothing." Because it is something. Recognize that it is. And whether you say it or you just think it, respond with, "Thank you for making that connection. And thank you for listening today." Love you all.